So, Mr. Hilton, do you know what I'm doing tomorrow?
What are you doing tomorrow?
I am driving my son to college, second year.
Oh, man. It's that time of year, right?
Totally. Yeah, everybody's heading.
I don't know if you do, but maybe because you have a kid who's in college, I still think of the calendar in terms of semesters. You know, I always think around this time of year, getting my new Trapper Keeper and my pencils and pens.
Yeah.
And
we had to make, when I went to school, we had to make our pencils.
Yeah, so you chopped the trees
that.
Down.
Totally. We chopped the trees and all that stuff. But it reminded me of something that happened just a few weeks ago, which a friend of mine who's in radio promotions, they're trying to get together. I was going to New York, or trying to figure out when to sit down and yak about music, because people who are in radio promotions don't just talk about their own stuff. They talk about, you know, music, and it's fun to get together with these people. That's why they're in this business. So my friend Hannah Carlin, she said, well, you know, this weekend might be good this weekend, but not one particular weekend, and just because it would be fun, and because of the subject of our show today, I brought Hannah right here on this little button, this little line. Hi, Hannah.
Hi.
So the one weekend, the one date you could not get together is?
Was September 7th, because I'm going to see the Kamikaze Hearts, who are the most important band of my college life.
Kamikaze Hearts.
And the most important thing, she said, is the most important band of her college years. Who is the Kamikaze Hearts, Hannah?
The Kamikaze Hearts are a band from around Albany, from Albany and Saratoga Springs in the Capital Region. The music is beautiful. The music is this beautiful, lyrical, tons of just mandolin and banjo and smart lyric stuff that you can just get so deep with. But it's also, they just sort of became the compass of everything. I was working at a college radio station at the time. I was the music director there, and they were just the compass by which we did everything, by which we saw shows or figured out about new bands or figured out what the local scene there or what having a local scene meant. It was a constant soundtrack to my college radio station, which in turn was the soundtrack to every minute that I spent in college at all. It was all, they were the sort of North Star of that whole thing.
So if you had one thing to play for of the Kamikaze Hearts.
Well, the song I listened to throughout college, the record was Seven More Wonders of the World, and Beverly Hills has the strongest pull. Beverly Hills feels like being in college to me.
Great. Let's play it. Thank you.
Thanks.
Hannah. That's Beverly Hills from the Seven More Wonders of the World. Really nice wistfulness to this.
Yeah, I hear the Avett Brothers in there for sure.
Oh, yeah.
I could definitely hear why this would be a great club band, why this would be a great band to just sort of attach to, a nice sentiment.
I have no memory of this band at all, and it takes me back. I mean, there's something in that sound. Very nice. Very nice find.
So the band of your college days, the band that got you through college, the band that you
The one that mattered most to you, that got you through all the crazy ups and downs. We put a call out on the blog a week or so ago and got some really nice stories. This one's from Gabriel, who talks about a band that's many people would call maybe the quintessential college band, and that's REM. So Gabriel says, when I entered college, I was still working classic rock out of my system. Why would you do that? But I hear you. I was still working classic rock out of my system and was starting to catch up with the last decade. My first real college friend, however, was more into new wave and punk. So there was a lot of us playing music for each other, catching up on our lives thus far. REM was one of the things we had an overlap on, and that fall, Automatic for the People came out. I remember going into town to buy that CD and then rushing back to my room for the two of us to listen to it for the first time. We must have skipped back and listened to the song Drive three times before we heard the rest of the album. That's the opening cut, and it is amazing. It was that heavy college moment when we were no longer sharing our pasts, but we're living together in the present. Probably an over... Yeah, it's, isn't that what it's all about? Probably an overly melodramatic way of thinking of it. But my college self was nothing if not melodramatic. I think that's beautiful, Gabriel. And let's listen to Drive from REM.
Smash, smash, crack, bush, whack. Tie another one to the racks, baby. Rock and roll. Nobody tells you where to go, baby. What if I ride? What if you walk? What if you rock around the clock? Nobody tells you what to do, baby. Hey, hey, kid, shake a leg. Maybe you're crazy in the head, baby. Maybe you did, maybe you are.
Hard to stop that song. Yeah. We'll put the full versions up online. I'd like to get through a bunch of stories. And
A lot of people mentioned REM, and this was such a huge record for me, too, because it came out. I actually had just finished college when this came out in 1992, but I moved to Athens, Georgia, and I was seeing all of these references to this record around town. In fact, Automatic for the People is a sort of a slogan, I guess, for a soul food restaurant there called Weaver D's. And if you'd go in and when you get up to the front of the line to place your order, they say Automatic, and their whole slogan was Automatic for the People. But, man, I used to listen to that record a lot, too, REM.
So that came out toward the end of your college. The very week, or maybe the second week I started college, a record came out that sort of changed the way I listen to music forever. One of the most personal records imaginable, and that's Neil Young's After the Gold Rush.
Oh.
Right? no one sang that way before. No one put words and poetry that was both so imaginary and yet at the same time very personal in heart and of the heart.
Right.
So in many ways, it correlated a lot with the times, and I felt the line, "I felt like getting high." It was that moment of freedom for someone who was going to college. It was that moment where you could find your own happiness and find your own dreams.
Yeah.
Different than any other record. I still put this on and I want to cry every time I hear
it. You're getting me choked up
going.
Just all right. Talking about it, man.
Oh, man.
We got to hear this.
Well, I dreamed I saw the knights in armor come and saying something about a queen. There were peasants singing and drummers drumming and the archers split the tree. There was a fanfare blowing to the sun that was floating on the breeze. Look at Mother Nature on the run in the 1970s. Look at Mother Nature on 70s. I was lying in a burned out basement with the full moon in my eyes. I was hoping for replacement when the sun burst through the sky. There was a band playing in my head. And I felt like getting high. I was thinking about what a friend had said. I was hoping it was a lie. Thinking about what a friend had said. I was hoping it was a lie.
Still to this day, there's a band playing in my head.
to rainbows, under the glow of rainbows in your head.
What a record to take you through college. I mean, at the time, the movement of the ecological movement was just sort of getting going, people talking about the environment and so forth. But it wasn't hit your over the head with a hammer sort of message about, like, let's get it together, let's save the planet. It was much more ethereal. It was much more about the bigger picture. And then, you know, you get a song like Southern Man and things like that. What an amazing artist.
Yeah, I think you nailed it when you said, particularly in just in his voice, there's something so unreal and magical about it, but at the same time so uniquely human and intimate and raw and real. And he just really knows how to get right into that heart.
Yeah.
Part of a song like that.
So what was it for you getting to college?
Well, you know, when you asked me a few weeks ago what was the one band that got you through your college years, I immediately froze because I thought, oh man, Bob's expecting me to tell him about the band that just tore things up, right?
Yeah.
And when we put the call out on our block, I thought we're going to get a lot of punk and hard rock and so much raw power from everybody, and we really didn't. Most of them.
So Dead Kennedys.
Yeah. So most of them were sort of like my pick, which is I picked U2, and the reason I picked U2, well, it was just such a huge band for me all through my college years. But when I think of them, the song that comes to mind in that time, Joshua Tree was 87 record. That was huge. But I think of Rattle and Hum, the 88 record, and the song All I Want Is You, because it's a time in our lives, and this came out in all of the stories we got on our blog as well. It's a time when we're the most malleable and we're trying to make sense of the world, right? And we're the most open to new ideas and sounds, and it's a period of great uncertainty, and U2 in this song, like a lot of the bands that people picked, offered the simple idea that security and stability and safety could be found in something as simple as love. And this song still just gets me so choked up when I listen to it. All I Want Is You.
You say you won't diamonds and a ring of gold. You say you want your story to remain untold, but all the promises we made from the cradle to the grave.
So many ways, almost everyone we've done so far is, except Hannah's, is fairly predictable. Mm-hmm. It doesn't matter. I don't care.
Yeah.
I want to hear these right now.
Yeah,
Everyone was surprisingly earnest in our.
I was wondering if we had any wacky ones.
Yeah, not really. No real stories about any regret song. You know, like, well, I don't really listen to them anymore, but I have to admit, I liked whoever. But everyone was really earnest and. You too. All I want is you. That really takes me back. I was listening to that, and I thought, I wouldn't live any of those years over again. But I wouldn't mind going back for an afternoon. We have a SoundCloud page where people can record themselves telling us their stories, and we got a number of those as well. And I want to play one from a guy named Jacob who talks about how important the band Savage Garden is to him.
In 1997, I had begun the coming out process and telling certain influential friends, my closest friends, my family, moving along the spectrum of coming out, having grown up in a conservative West Texas town, thankfully to liberal parents, so I would rely on a lot of the content of that music. And by the time their second album came out in 2000, I was going through my first pretty rough breakup, and I relied a lot on the content of that second album. There are songs like Crash and Burn that to this day take me instantly back to everything that was going on and going badly with that breakup. But it's a song that I listen to not as a breakup song. It's a song I listen to with revelry. I quite identify with the other side of that song, which is Crash and Burn. You will survive. You know, if you have any intent to go forward, you have to be a phoenix. And for me, that song does that.
When you feel all alone and the world has turned its back on you, give me a moment, please, to tame your wild, wild heart. I know walls are closing in on you. It's hard to find relief, and people can be so cold. When darkness is upon your door and you feel like you can't take anymore, fly away with you into the night. If you need to fall apart,
Savage Garden, that's from their Truly, Madly, Completely is the record that we have that from.
Great story. I'm so glad.
Actually, I should say that's from Affirmation, was their second record.
I love that people can open their hearts up on something like SoundCloud and just, you know, tell these really important moments in their lives. And I like the way there's something that artists can do where they write something that is meaningful to them. That line about the crash and burn, mm-hmm. was just meaningful to the songwriter.
Yeah.
And then Jacob goes and he owns the line.
Yeah.
I mean, it he's held on to this for a while now.
Yeah. It was a record came out in 1999.
We got something rocking.
We do. This is from Bradley, and it's a more recent one. And I grabbed this one out of all the others because I thought, yeah, this is a college band. I'm graduating from college at the end of this month, he says. And the band that defined my college years was LCD Sound System.
He's not going to play Drunk Girls, is he?
No question. From entering college with just Sound of Silver, and then This Is Happening being released halfway through my college years. Huh? I had a crazy love affair with James Murphy's hilarious and poignant lyrics. I constantly felt like he was writing letters to me, my best friends, girls I was in love with, and my family. I got to see them three times in their last year, including their penultimate show. Aww. At Madison Square Garden.
Yay.
No band has meant more to me, and the best part is, as I get older, James' lyrics will make more and more sense, and I will keep discovering more and more about my favorite band. So you were telling me while we were listening that when you get in the car and you just want to go 100 miles an hour.
Well, that's right. I didn't say 100 miles an hour. You said that.
You reach for this.
Yeah, I reach for the totally. It's the craziness and the drive in that song. And I can totally, if I was in college, this would be my band too. So I'm with you.
I think James Murphy's kind of brilliant. I'm really looking forward to seeing what he does with this sort of second half of his musical life.
Worth seeing the documentary too if you haven't seen that yet. So
I want to go back. The year is 1970. This is a post that we got on the blog from a guy named John. He says, I'm a bit older than the other posters here. I went to college in 1970. Having dined on a diet of The Who and Led Zeppelin and Cream and Jimi Hendrix and Crosby, Stills, Nash & Young in high school. But the one band that made a real impact on me in college was Spirit.
Wow.
Spirit. You were a Spirit fan.
Oh, totally.
You, Bob? Have you got Spirit, Bob?
Man, I have not listened to that band since I think I started playing music on a computer. So.
Well, John says that he says the family that plays together was very good.
Yeah.
The 12 Dreams of Dr. Yeah. Sardonicus was life-changing. Spirit is the band that had the biggest impact on me 40-some years ago. So he didn't say what song you want to play, but you were a fan, so what do you want to play? And yeah. So who was Spirit?
Yeah, they were one of these California bands that, you know, there weren't that many niche bands back then. Most every band that was out there sort of made it because there weren't all that many groups.
Yeah.
So everybody knew about just about everybody who had records coming out. Spirit was one that didn't get a lot of airplay until they made a hit called Nature's Way. Do you know that song?
It's Nature's Way of Telling You Something. Yes. Yeah, totally.
That was their hit. But they did a great song called I Got a Line on You, and they had this very California sound that wasn't incredibly psychedelic like a lot of the San Francisco bands were. They were more L.A. Let's play I Got a Line on You from the family that plays together.
I like that a lot.
It's got a great groove, right?
That's a great groove.
It's another great driving song, isn't it?
That is, yeah. Very nice.
Yeah.
I don't know how I missed that.
Yeah, Spirit. You should get
maybe
both those records.
Maybe because I was 1 year old, 1 years old when this came out.
You were in diapers, and they were singing about sex.
Yeah. Well, that's pretty awesome. I love that.
Good. Let's do this. We've gotten so much stuff. We have 400 whatever comments on this.
Too many to get.
And worth, if you got some time, spending some time and reading them. There's some great stories there. But I'd like to gather more because I think sometimes, I mean, everybody's going to college. First of all, it'd be great to know if you're just starting college, what's the band you think that's going to get you through college?
Yeah, who's your little friend that you're taking with you to college? You think, I'm going to really need this band and this record. You may not realize that you're going to meet some new bands while you're there, and they could take your favorite band's place. It's part of growing up. Tell us in our blog.
It's kind of like putting that teddy bear.
Sometimes you got to put the teddy bear away. So we'll put the show up. Leave more stories in our comments section. We'll have a link to our SoundCloud page where people can record more stories. And maybe we'll do another one of these maybe halfway through the semester or
That'd
something
be
like
cool.
that. Yeah. Yeah.
What are we going to go out on?
So this is a current song, and it's a song we've heard a lot in the past year. And it's one of those, I think, that you hear so many times, you start to forget that it's actually an amazing, wonderful, great song that I think just so perfectly captures both the wistfulness and the celebration of youth. And it's one that was selected by one of our listeners who left her story on our SoundCloud page. Her name is Shelby, and I'll let her tell us all about it.
Excellent.
Yeah.
Mr. Hilton, thank you. Good stories.
Yeah, thank you, Bob.
For NPR Music, it's All Songs Considered.
It almost feels like cheating answering this question because I'm not looking back on my college years and reminiscing and trying to figure out which band was most important. I'm just looking around me right now. I have a year left of undergrad, and I've loved a lot of bands since I've gotten to college, but no band has mattered to me like Fun. I don't really remember where I first heard about them, who first introduced me to them, where I got their album from. I don't even really remember casually listening to them. All I know is that from day one, I had this weird connection to them. I got their music, and I don't know how to explain it. It wasn't musically as a musician, it wasn't as a lyricist. It was like they were speaking this language that I didn't realize that I knew. And they spoke it fluently, and they spoke it beautifully. And when you've had a college career that's been as all over the map as mine has been, with amazing highs and remarkable lows, you really appreciate a band that can stick with you through all of that. Fun has been my soundtrack to some of the best moments that I've had here. They've been with me on nights singing with friends, walking the streets of Chicago, falling blissfully in love with my life. I don't think I've ever been quite as happy as I was front row center seeing them in concert for the first time. But they've also been the soundtrack to serious bouts of depression, and they've sung me out of panic attacks and kept me afloat when I didn't know what else to hold on to. They've become for me kind of like that sweater that you have that you've worn so many times that there's holes in the sleeves for your thumbs and it smells like you even when you take it out of the washer. They're kind of like that. You know, I never would have guessed freshman year when I started listening to Fun that this little indie band would matter so much to me, but in the last 3 years, they've become my lighthouse. They've become a companion for me. Really, they're like a friend.
Give me a second, I need to get my story straight. My friends are in the bathroom getting higher than the Empire State. My lover, she is waiting for me just across the bar. My seat's been taken by some sunglasses asking about a scar. And I know I gave it to you months ago. I know you're trying to forget, but between the drinks and subtle things, the holes in my apologies, you know, I'm trying hard to take it back. So if by the time the bar closes and you feel like falling down, I'll carry you home tonight. We are young. So I set the world. the time the bar closes and you feel like falling down, I'll carry you home tonight.